Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, okay, there we go. I was like, didn't think I could hear it. Hallelujah. You love the Lord tonight? He is worthy of praise, isn't he? His name, his nature, his character. Hallelujah. It definitely is like the fragrance after a rain, isn't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you turn with me again to Exodus chapter 12, I just want to read the verse again. I've not really gotten away from this concept of what God is really after. I continually can hear within my own heart the words of Paul where he said, and we'll read it again, in Corinthians, he said, keep the feast. Keep the feast. That is our responsibility. Should be our desire. Amen. For God is looking for a people that are holy and acceptable to God. Amen. And I really do love the fact that there's nothing wrong with the dough. Hallelujah. He is the bread of life. The interesting thing, though, is, you know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they had to take that dough that wasn't leavened and do what with it? It had to be baked. How many know that God's baking a loaf of bread without yeast? Amen. So let's look at this verse real quick again. Exodus 12, verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Seven being the number of perfection, completion. This is what he wants. He wants a loaf of bread that is perfectly complete without sin. Amen. It's not a people that declare a thing, but they are not. It's a people who express a fullness of who he is. Amen. And it really does begin with cleaning the house, doesn't it? 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. So you can't have any accidental or on purpose involvement or mixture in the dough. You know, we can find the parable many different ways, right? But the one thing that God will not accept is flesh and blood or mixture in our lives, right? Hallelujah. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. The whole point there is flesh and blood cannot. It's not just will not, right? But it literally is cannot, right? Inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? Real quick, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, I've been doing a lot of reading on this Corinthian church, and you might ask the question, how did I get here? Right? How did I get here? You may not have followed my path very, you know, I may not have left enough breadcrumbs, but if we really go back to the thought of the peace offering, Okay? The whole point of the peace offering was what? Fellowship offering or participation offering, a communion offering. We know that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament type, didn't he? And he became a peace offering for you and I. He literally showed you and I in type, in pattern, in reality, in spirit, in a body, exactly what God wants. He's the firstborn of many. The truth of the matter, he's the firstborn in many, isn't he? Firstborn, right? He's the first of its kind. He's not a second Adam, right? He's a new created man. Started a whole new family tree. Watch this. He became a new lump. He made sure that all the leaven was out of the house. Now, can you hear what he's saying tonight? All the leaven was removed from the house as an individual, right? And so what he's showing you and I, not only must it be done in you and I individually, it absolutely must be done corporately. Jesus fulfilled the feast. You and I must apply and fulfill the feast also, not just individually. You know, the truth of the matter is we will never find true fulfillment in an individual completion because we really can't be complete without one another. And watch this, and you can only be attached to loaves of bread or dough that cannot bring corruption to the whole lump. So therefore, this is why Paul, you know, he understood this, right? He knew this. He had the vision. I always like that statement he wrote. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And Paul knew and Paul understood, right? He truly had character flaws still, didn't he? Watch, you don't think so? He was given a messenger of Satan. Why? So he wouldn't get too high-minded, isn't that what he said? Oh, wait a minute, who gave him that messenger? So high-mindedness is something that is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. Right? And he understood that, and he had no problem with that. Even though he asked God three times, he knew. You know, I was thinking yesterday when they said, hey, poor Huron's going to get hit. You know, my boss said to me, bullseye, right? Poor Huron going to be the bullseye of this storm coming off the lake. He said, that's what the weatherman told him. So I thought, geez. Because I recently heard someone say, you need to pray. Jesus prayed, and he got the storms all out of the way, right? But that's what we do as Christians. We read something that we think Jesus, because he did it, that we should automatically be able to do the same thing. Because if that was the case, how come Paul had to endure a storm in Acts 27 and, oh, wait a minute, go down with the ship? That's because most folks don't understand the full sovereignty of God. That God is bringing about, because he works all things together for good. Right? Even though we may not like that, it was obvious when Jesus told the storm to be calm. Now some folks might say, well, you know, that was Jesus and not, you know, Paul is. No, you have to understand. Paul was able to move in the same abilities. But God was always and is always working towards the total purpose, isn't he? Isn't he? Because what he really wants in our lives Watch this. There's a house without leaven. Come on, I'm talking more than just this house, right? His body without leaven that knows how to endure the full 7 days. I mean, to the end. Are you with me? He's after something, isn't he? And remember, they had to walk out of that country. Loins girded. Gird up the loins of your mind, right? Staff in hand. Be ready to go. Prepare for purpose. And really, the purpose of God is tabernacles. It always has been, and it always will be. If Adam would have never fallen, God's purpose was still tabernacles. Watch this, in Christ. Selah. Selah. Just pause and think about that. Long before Adam ever fell, God already had a purpose and a plan. Amen? So Paul, he takes this, you know, and he's dealing with the Corinthian church here, and you know the issue, and I don't want to even spend a lot of time in it, but he told them, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? God, I wish I could just lay hold of that, you. Well, God works it through unclean vessels. Yes, he does, but that's not his goal. The truth of the matter is it's an unfortunate thing that most of the time carnal flesh will always use that as a loophole to continue doing what it wants. Right? I'm talking about right here, right? Right between my ears. Always looking for loopholes, right? That's what carnality does. Are you with me? A little leaven does what? Leavens the whole lump. That doesn't matter if it's within an individual, within a church, within a community, within a family, a community, right? A little bit. Because, right, we've said this for years, right? Haven't we said this for years? If I'm a very bad example for this congregation, somebody out there doesn't think that's just me. They think it's all of us. Unless we're high-minded and we think that it's just... And that just goes to show you that we're not really one to begin with, right? Anyway, here we go. Purge out. I love this. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. I told you, he's talking to unbelievers, or not, he's talking to believers, not unbelievers, right? Or maybe they are unbelievers, just in, are you with me? As you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. He was, wasn't he? Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, on Sunday, I talked to you about the leaven, right? And Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, right? But you know, as I was reading the other night, I never really realized this before. Jesus said in another place, not only beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, he said beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So now what he's really dealing with is the leaven of religion and politics that have come together. And God, we don't want to go to Revelation 18 and talk about the whore and the beast that she rides on. That'll be another message. But we have to understand that the corruption cannot be in the house. You know it says corruption cannot inherit incorruption? Oh, geez, I wish Jesus would just do it for me. Just give it to me, Jesus. Give me that incorruption. No, it can't inherit it. He says to purge it out. Purge it out. Amen? Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Nothing wrong with the dough, is there? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now we learn that the leaven of the Pharisees was also what? What did Jesus call it? Hypocrisy. Hypocritical. What is a hypocrite? Someone who believes and says one thing, but... And it doesn't mean that they don't believe it. Right? And we're not talking about one-time acts, even though that could be included. We're talking about a general lifestyle. Right? You ever read anything on Herod? And you have to realize, when we talk about Herod, typically there was Herod the Great, who literally died about 4 BC, or no, 4 AD, somewhere in there. And then he had, you know, and if you ever read on their families, it's messed up families. But and the truth of the matter is, they were considered king of the Jews because they were kings, right, over Judah at the time, right? Because Antipas, I think his name was, and then he had a kid that was named King Agrippa, right? And they were all part of... Agrippa's the one where he thought he was so great and the worms ate him when God struck him, you know. But Antipas, he's the one that cut off John the Baptist's head, okay? But you know what their nationality was? They were Edomites. They were from Edom. And if you don't know what Edom is Adam. But they had the religious cloak in the political arena. They legislated religion. That's all they did. And this is why Jesus said, purge it out. I mean, they followed the law, but it never was in their heart. See, the truth of the matter is most folks want to get rid of the law, but all along, God wants to write it in your heart and mind. And when He writes, right, it doesn't come out. I always remember my dad saying this. How do you know when God's really written something in your heart? It's the only thing you can do. You won't do anything different. Right? You won't lie. You won't cheat. You won't fight. And are you all right? Now, he's talking to the Corinthian church here, right? And it's interesting. You know, if you read the first few verses here of chapter 3, it's really, he picks this up from, it is a continuation of the end of chapter 2, because, you know, we put verses and chapters and all that. But he talks about, at the end of chapter 2, about how the natural man can't receive spiritual things, right? And then he says in verse 16 of that verse, or that chapter, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now people have taken that and they've run with it, haven't they? But the whole point of having the mind of Christ, it begins to teach you how to think and how to act and how to live. Right? And I like how the Amplifies, it begins to do that. This is why Paul said in another place, hey, put on the mind of Christ. All right? So verse 1 of chapter 3, are you ready? And I, brethren, because he was talking to them about becoming spiritual, all right? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I don't know about you, but I like looking at that verse for this simple reason is, you know, being born again doesn't make you mature. Being a new creation doesn't make you mature. He even told them, babes in Christ. I don't know about you, but being a babe in Christ means that you are at a what? Starting point. Isn't it interesting? We get a person born again, they come in from the world, and what do we want to do? We want to put them behind the pulpit. We want them to be full grown because they're adults in natural life. There's this expectation that they can stop every storm, cast out every devil. Did we ever read the verse where Jesus said that a stormy wind fulfilling God's word? You ever read that in Psalms? So he's not going to stop every wind, is he? Because God's got a purpose. And his purpose, oh, hallelujah, if you don't get excited about it, the purpose is tabernacles. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. I thank God for the Feast of Passover, and I'll continue to celebrate it. And those that have never been born again, I'll celebrate it with them. And the Feast of Pentecost, which the truth of the matter is, we've never really fully expressed the Feast of Pentecost in the church. You know, everybody talks about the 9 gifts, one of the most important ones that they don't ever use. My dad and I, we talked about this at Christmas time, is no one uses the gift of discernment. It's one of the most important ones. They hear words and they think, hey, when God says try spirits. We'll hear words in our own head that'll convince us to do whatever we think we want. And it's never been God alone. This is why he sends prophets. Yeah. And if you really read your Bible, right, you'll find out most of God's prophets ended up what? Dead. Just like his disciples. They definitely weren't in the group of many. And things haven't changed one bit. I always remember that. I wish Nathaniel was here. Remember when I read that back when we were in the first building? Remember that? And he was just a little boy. Remember that? And I was reading that about what God does to prophets. Remember that in Hebrews? He said, oh, no, I don't want that. Remember that? You remember that? God was talking to him, though. God always humiliates his prophets. Hey, Isaiah, go run through the streets naked. Oh, wait, Hosea, go down and marry a whore. Yeah. Ezekiel, your wife's going to die. And don't cry. Right? Poke a hole in the side of your house so you can look in there and see what's going to happen when the people run out. Jeremiah, get ready to go down into a... And even Jesus talked about what they did to Zacharias, didn't they? They killed him. Where? Between the porch and the altar, which was the very place it said in the book of Joel that the priest, the royal priesthood, should be in that place doing what? Crying out to God. And instead, what'd they do? They killed him there. Paul says, I wanted to talk to you as spiritual, but I couldn't. Remember the movie, The Lion King? God has shown us a wonderful picture there, right? Simba had a little bit of knowledge that he was going to be a king. Amen? Pastor, why are you telling me this kind of stuff? because he's telling us to keep the feast. I believe God is in our midst and he really wants to express himself through a clean vessel. God can do it through a raven, through a donkey down in a muddy water. He can do it wherever he wants. But his heart's desire. If it were not so, Paul would have never said holy and acceptable to God. And better yet, if it were not so, Jesus would have never fulfilled the word. And the proof, God, I'm beside myself tonight, I'm sorry. The proof that God will have a body, the sign that everybody looks for, is Jesus. He's the proof. He's the guarantee. Because watch this. You ready? Some must. Oh, no. See, I meditated on that for like a half hour on the way to work today. Some must. I couldn't think about anything else. Some must enter in. You know, I've told you this before. I feel guilty myself, you know, with the electronics. We can stuff so much information in so quickly that we forgot how to meditate on one little tidbit of God that he could cause. Watch, the flip side of leaven, right? Jesus only one other place in the whole Bible. Leaven's always considered a picture of corruption or expansion. In the negative way, right? Except for where Jesus said a little. A woman, right? And three measures of meal. Come on, three feasts. It's about the kingdom expanding into the Feast of Tabernacles. Are you with me? This is what he wants. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I think it's pretty interesting that he relates babes in Christ as being carnal. They just haven't grown up yet. Are you with me? I have fed you with milk and now with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. Here's a verse I really wanted to get to. Why did I want to get to this verse? Do you remember? Keep the feast. Purge out the old leaven so we can what? Be a new lump. Now watch this. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? That keeps me in check. Nothing wrong with the dough. Nothing wrong with the dough. Look, there was nothing wrong with Simba saying that he was going to be a king. But he had some issues, didn't he? And one of the things that he couldn't do was face the reality of what his issues were. And the first thing he did was what? He listened to someone from the Scar realm, right? And he went down to an elephant's graveyard. This is what most folks are doing. They're trying to resurrect what was dead when all God's been doing is moving forward. Oh, hallelujah. Into a new feast. Remember the Feast of Tabernacles? What took place on the 10th day? I asked you this question about a week ago. Nope. Feast of Tabernacles. The 10th day was the select the lamb was the Feast of Passover. Feast of Tabernacles was in the 7th month. The 10th day was the Day of Atonement. And that was a day for one to do what? Afflict your souls. Now, we might say, well, hey, we don't have... No, Jesus said, hey, if you lose your life, you'll do what? You'll find it. Where are you going to find it? Oh, hallelujah. As a tabernacle. You want a different analogy? This is what Peter said. Living stones. Right? Built into a what? House of sacrifice, of praise. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Aren't you glad you don't have to bring the calf, but you bring the calf of your lips? Amen? I like how the, let's see, how do I want to do this? Hang on 1 second. Are you all right? I'm glad. I'm going to read this to you in the Living Bible. I kind of stuck into the Living Bible. Not really sure, but you ready? Dear brothers, I've been talking to you as though you were still just babies in the Christian life who are not following the Lord but your own desires. This is what he said. I cannot talk to you as I would to healthy Christians who are filled with the Spirit. That's an interesting thought to me. What made them healthy Christians? Being filled with the Spirit. I have had to feed you with milk and not with solid food because you couldn't digest anything stronger. I could say a lot, but I won't. For you are still only baby Christians controlled by your own desires. See, now I read between the lines, and I have to say, if I'm controlled by my own desires, I'm still a babe. I better say it like that. I'm still a baby. And how do I know that I'm controlled by my own desires, UT? Watch this. When you are jealous of one another and divide up into quarreling groups, doesn't that prove you're still babies? Not me. I don't quarrel with anyone. I'm just, you know, using the word to let me know that I got to keep the feast in every area of my life and purge everything out because he wants a new lump. Watch this. That he can connect to himself that won't bring corruption in the house. A new lump. Fresh dough. Oh, hallelujah. When you are jealous of one another, divide up into quarreling groups, doesn't this prove you're still babies wanting your own way? That's what a lot of folks do, demand God to do something and jump up and down so he'll do it. And guess what? It reminds me of the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel not getting their own way. Are you with me? Watch this. In fact, you are acting like people who don't belong to the Lord at all. Now, he's not talking to non-Christians. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to those of us who allow our own selfish desires to continue to control us. And it comes out in quarrels, fighting. We could go to James and we know what he says about that, right? And see, and we can have some big love fest, preaching message that only tell me how great I am, but it will never purge out the old leaven of my life. Nothing wrong with the dough. Flesh and blood will not, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I thank God every single day that He opens my eyes that I don't live in a realm of deception. Well, it doesn't mean I'm not deceived occasionally. That's not what I said. Big difference. We understand what He wants. So therefore, we order our lives and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. It's more than just quoting a scripture. It's actually putting your face to the flint and saying, God, I'm coming. Watch this. Do you know why God makes it straight and narrow? Because He knows, number one, my flesh won't want it. It won't. Come on. Adam, the natural man, is a creature of comfort. Well, I don't think that's true. Okay, let me turn the heat down. It won't be very long and we'll all be saying it's too cold. Let me turn it way up. Or, you know, I don't know. Some of us might not say it's too hot. But you get my point, right? Turn with me to Galatians. Chapter 5. Verse 14. Oh wait, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto what? Liberty. Now we'll preach this till the cows come home. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Let's read the whole thing. Let's put it in the context of the Holy Ghost. But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Watch this. But if. Wow. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. If you do what? Bite? Did you hear that? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I like the fact that he said, walk in the Spirit. He didn't just say live there, did he? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you want. I know this is a boring message. You want to know what Paul said? Watch this. He said, my words are life to some and death to others. Didn't he? Some folks just won't want it.
And we can all shake our heads or not shake our heads. But the reality is this. God's going to have a holy, pure lump. With or without me. How do you know that, Pastor? Watch this. Some must enter in. They must. They must. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Oh, we like that. But he might lead you right into a ship in the middle of a hurricane. I'll tell you, if anybody wonders where he's leading us, I'll tell you where he's leading us. In case you don't know, he's leading you to a cross. Remember Papa's old t-shirt when you were little? What did it say? He said, Christians hang around the cross. Cross. But real Christians do what? They hang on it. Remember what I said? It's easier to do this than it is to do this. Is it? Well, hallelujah. Are you with me? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder. Now I don't murder anybody. Well, we can just go to what Jesus said murder was, right? Drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I always love this part. Against such there is no law. You can try to regulate it and try to produce it all you want because you've read it and you think you know it. But no law can perform it. Only the Spirit of God working in our lives. Watch this. When He writes it in our heart, I will put my laws where? Your inward parts. And do what? Right, engrave. So that we can become what? Living epistles written and read of all men. Purge out the old. Keep the feast of unleavened bread. Because resurrection lies. True resurrection life is our portion. Because watch this, some must enter in. Are you with me? And not only does he talk about this as individuals, he talks about, listen, I have a question for you. In picture or in type, when the children of Israel were ready to go into the promised land and cross the Jordan River, right? Did they go in individually or did they go in as a church? I mean a nation. Yeah. And oh, by the way, this is what God's really doing. He's looking for a royal priesthood who can stand in the river of death, Jordan, and cause that flow to stop. So the rest or the woman can cross over. I'm telling you. And God's marked us. I believe this with my whole heart. He's marked us for a first fruit company. This is why not everybody understands. those of like what? Precious faith. But if you remember this, just because we're called, he said, make your calling and election sure. And it works this way, watch this, by purging out what doesn't belong. It's the little what? Foxes that do what? Spoil the vine. The foxes eat the tender grapes, the babes. The things that are just starting, that never grow into maturity. And God's after fruit that does what? Remains. Do you remember when he told John the Revelator in the book of Revelation to take the book and eat it? What did he tell him? Is it going to be sweet to your mouth? Bitter to your desires. Because why? Because God is trying to kill us so really we could live. I said this many years ago, and I've said it a million times. He's killing me softly with his song. Because if he did it all at once, I wouldn't be able to handle it. Right? He's like electricity, right? He's invisible. If there was no transformer to reduce it down to get into this building, yikes. The building wouldn't be able to stand, right? I encourage you tonight. And watch this. In case you think I forgot. How am I going to purge this, God? How do I purge this? It begins where? In the closet. With the door closed. And watch this, begin to fast. Wash your face. He didn't just say fast from food, he was saying fast from this life. Yeah. Yeah. The only reason he told you to wash your face was this reason. So your image looked like his, cleaned up. Amen. But I don't leave you with one thing tonight. Keep the feast. And here's why. You ready? Keep the feast of unleavened bread. You ready? Because some must enter in. Let's stand. Are you with me? This is God's word. He called us. He marked us. He chose us. He died for us. Why? So we could live in His fullness. And He's given us the Holy Ghost as a teacher. He comes to do what? You remember the four C's? Do you remember the four C's? Must have made an impact on my brother Tim because he preaches it all the time. Do you remember them? Come on. He preaches it. It hit him. He remembers. I know now your brains are thinking. Conviction. That was the last one. He comforts at the end. He corrects. He convicts. He corrects. He counsels. Instructs, right? And then he comforts us, right? Remember this? Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So we run around trying to get the greatest thing. No, 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 no. It's the end of these things. Faith in God. Hope or an expectation. Watch this, that the fullness is the end result of our life. A true booth, right? Come on, when Jesus was born, he was that 8 pounds of what? Love. And all it had to do, sorry, I'm a little beside myself, is grow up. He went home and became subject to who? Mom and Daddy. And then when he became 30 years old, he became subject to who? The Father. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. We don't realize how privileged we are. Whew. This is strong meat. But he gives us strong meat because he believes that we can eat it. Hallelujah. So, Father, take this word and let it become multiplied in our lives. True nourishment for the spirit, the soul, and the body, Lord. That the life of your spirit, God, will be expressed, not just in individuals, God, in a people. The greatest miracle of all, that we all might be one. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Keep the feast, because some must enter in. Amen. Hallelujah.